father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to get to what Lance wanted to talk about on the other side. But first, we got Sam Dykstra that is joining us from MLB Pipeline. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the minors and with our Space Cowboys. Your home for the Space Cowboys is right here, ESPN 92.5. Sam, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
We appreciate you being here. First, Cody Clements got called up by the Tigers. It wasn't like AJ was like all excited. He said he's not changing our team. You know, maybe we'll still move in and out, be a utility player for us. What kind of player is Cody Clements?
Yeah, Cody Clements, I think he is going to be a utility guy to them. He can play some outfield. He's played some second base for the Tigers. I don't think he's necessarily a roster-altering player, but he's shown some pop this year, slugging above 500. He's got an OPS above 800. A little old for the AAA level, but he's certainly having his best offensive season yet in the minor leagues, and the Tigers could use whatever injection of talent they could get right now, given the state of things over there in Detroit. So they'll plug him in wherever they can kind of find a spot for him, whether it's, like I said, whether it's second base, whether it's the outfield. He gives them options, but yeah, pretty solid left-handed bat for the Tigers to have there.
I want to ask you a specific question about minor leaguers before we get into some of the Astros farm system stuff. Launch angles have changed. Teams approach launch angles differently. They approach at-bats differently in the major leagues to hit more home runs. Is that being taught now? Is that something that is more of a major league thing and they just want guys to make good contact in the minors, or are they already teaching launch angle changes in the minor league systems right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend organization to organization. Every organization has its own hitting philosophies, but in terms of those terms you're hearing at the major league level, yeah, they're being used in the minors as well. Every player is different. Some players really take the data. They study how their hits are coming off the bat, what the exit velo is. Some guys just want to know, you know, what is my average in the last 7 days? How am I doing against fastballs? But all that discussion of analytics and where things are in the major leagues right now, it is very prevalent in the minors. It's just how much do the players want to buy in? And sometimes organizations kind of take a hands off because they don't want to overload your 18-year-olds, your 19-year-olds. But the data is there for them to use. And, when I have conversations with scouts, with people in organizations about increasing launch angle, trying to get the ball in the air more, that is something that people are talking about, yeah.
Yeah. That's Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline, at Sam Dykstra, MILB, on Twitter. If you are a minor league fan, I'm sure we got a listener here that's a big fan, Niles. I'm sure he is. He's following you. You put out a tweet. In my opinion, Miami, Colorado, the White Sox, Boston, Washington, Houston, Kansas City, San Francisco, Cubs, Arizona, LA Dodgers. That's the order of their minor league systems, I take it. How has Houston moved up so far when they were considered, not just a couple of years ago, like the worst minor league system in the league?
I don't remember. That was in reference to the City Connect jersey. I'm sorry.
Oh, because all you put was in my opinion.
Yeah, that was the morning of the City Connect jersey coming out in Colorado. I sent that out when everybody was
people went bonkers over City Connect jerseys.
That was tweeted out at a very specific time. It does look great in hindsight, just floating out there. So no, sorry.
Houston is one
of the lower organizations right now in terms of farm system talent, I would say.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't. Did you like Colorado's? They just came out.
I actually did like.
Like them too.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty unique. Yeah. I actually did.
What is that?
Like
that's
them.
Their license plate.
Yeah, that's why it looks right. So familiar. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Right. So you like? Right. I've gotten mixed responses from the Astros.
I don't love it. I don't like. Well, the dark
here's
dark.
Why: is because the Astros lose.
They get smashed every time they wear those jerseys.
Yeah. So you like them, Sam?
The Houston City Connect jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty solidly middle of the pack to me, but like Space City, at least that's something unique to Houston. It's a little bit different than the regular jersey. I wish it was a little splashier in terms of color. The blue is a little boring to me, and it reminds me a little bit of you know, you talk about the minor leagues. The Rocket City Trash Pandas are a team in the minor league, so State City, Rocket City is a little close. But overall, it's a solid look. I don't think it's a miss. I think it's very easy to swing and miss with, on these jerseys and try to do something too radical. But it's pretty solidly down the middle.
All right, well, let's talk about them Space Cowboys, and let's talk about the minor league system. Who you like, who do you think that right now is in the system that is going to be, that, that the Astros can look forward to having good major league careers?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Brown is somebody we just moved into the top 100 when we did a refresh of that in the last couple of weeks. Hunter Brown's been really good this year at AAA Sugar Land. You were talking about Sugar Land before. 2.01 ERA, 56 strikeouts and 40 in the third inning. The pitches back it up. This is not just like early sample size stuff. The fastball is really good. The curveball is really good. He's got another above average pitch in the slider. The biggest question we had on him coming into the year was control, and I think maybe adding a fourth pitch. His changeup's not as good as those three other pitches, so maybe he's going to have some split issues with left-handers. But he's ticking all the boxes early on here. His control has been pretty good, only 17 walks, 40 in the third inning. It's not perfect, but it's not bad. They've been using him both as a starter and kind of a piggyback option, coming in later in games but pitching multiple innings. He could be a rotation option for them later in the season, or he could be what he is now in Sugarland and be somebody who comes in the third and fourth innings and eats up innings from there, kind of after an opener type situation. So Hunter Brown is very close to helping out Houston, and we think he's the clear number one prospect in the system now.
How about Corey Lee?
Corey Lee, I like Corey Lee a lot as a defender. Right now, this year, I mean, he was probably ahead of Hunter Brown, and I think Brown has passed him because he's had success. Corey Lee just isn't getting it done with a bat to begin the year. He's hitting 201, got a 640 OPS. He is a quality defender. His arm is what everybody loves to talk about. It's plus-plus back there. So he definitely has a major league future, potentially as a backup. He just needs to have the bat come around because there is above-average power in there. It just needs to come through, and he's not making enough contact to make that happen right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, it's the tradition. If you're an Astros catcher, you're not going to hit. That's all there is.
I mean, this what, is a tradition as old as time.
It is. How about Pedro Leon?
I mean, Pedro Leon is starting to come around a little bit this year. I think he's impressing me more this year than he did last year. I think there was just so much hype for him coming into last year. But he's starting to turn on the power a little bit. 7 home runs, slugging .466, kind of making him an option. I'm still wondering how they're going to eventually use him defensively. You know, obviously he was a shortstop at one point. Jeremy Pena seems to have that locked down for not only the short term, but very much the long term. The arm's going to play everywhere. He's a good runner. He's athletic. You can probably put him anywhere. He's just going to need to hit to make that happen. I wouldn't get too worried about the .227 average right now at Sugarland. He's always going to kind of be a lower average guy, but if he's making enough impact like he has so far, power-wise, he could be a solid everyday player, if not necessarily an above-average one.
They made a big stink about Adley Rutschman coming up. What do you think?
I mean, I love Adley Rutschman. He was a big debate for us coming into the year, whether he was the number one overall prospect. We went with Bobby Witt Jr. Just because we thought Bobby Witt Jr. could have all five tools in a way that Rutschman can't. But, man, having seen Adley Rutschman a couple weeks ago down at AAA Norfolk, he was certainly ready defensively, and that was the big question for the O's coming off the triceps injury. He might be one of the best defensive catchers in baseball immediately upon arrival. He's a switch hitter. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. One of my colleagues, Jim Callis, loves to describe him as the Mark Teixeira type, who can catch, which is obviously very valuable. I'm going to be interested to see how these first couple weeks go, because we've seen with a Julio Rodriguez, with a Bobby Witt Jr., Spencer Torkelson, some of these bigger names, really struggle out of the gate once they make the majors. Adley Rutschman has always had a good approach, and I think that's going to help him in the first couple weeks as a rookie. But, you know, it's tough. It's even with a half season of AAA ball under his belt, making that jump, as we've seen, is one of the most difficult in all of baseball, if not the most difficult, to finally face major league pitching. But defensively, he's gold glove caliber immediately upon reaching Baltimore.
Sam Dykstra, our guest from Major League Pipeline, and they take a look at they do a great job of scouring through the entire minor league system and bringing you the best of the best. You know, I do have a question, because it was kind of unanswered in the middle of COVID, with all of our fears and concerns from a health standpoint. Of course, we hear in the sports world how the sports world was going to continue. Something that happened was minor leagues were almost in a way disbanded during that time because of the financial concerns, and players were lost in certain organizations. And we never really got a great storyline. Like, I don't think it was ever really fully answered how they put the minor league systems back together and where the minor leagues stand in a general sense now versus pre-COVID.
What do you mean they were essentially disbanded?
Well, I mean, you had guys just basically leaving teams. There were no teams, and it's my understanding that some of those teams, some of those players, I guess, ended up with other organizations. They were free to go.
Well, I mean, you had like normal transactions that happened. Some guys were released and something, but I don't think it's accurate to say they were disbanded. Everybody was still belonging to an organization.
Yeah, disbanded was not the right word, but I do know there was more movement. There was more movement for some of those players, weren't there, because of financial concerns for some? Didn't some of the teams eliminate some contracts?
There were some teams, obviously, that lost affiliates. I mean, we've lost certain levels of minor league baseball. You don't have some of these short season and rookie level teams anymore. And without those teams, there's fewer roster spots. So there might have been some cuts. In terms of more than usual, I mean, one thing that I think was tough coming off the lost season of 2020, minor league baseball was canceled that year. There was no minor league season. Mm-hmm. Evaluation was tougher than ever. And it was interesting trying to rank prospects going in 2021 because you could hear about what was happening at the alt site. You could hear about what was happening at home with some of these guys. But there's no replacement for games. There's nothing like actual game action and getting 100 innings or 500 plate appearances in a season. So I think going into last year, there was some trying to feel around, like, where are guys at? Where have they been? What have they been doing? And that took some time. And I think we're still kind of going through that now. I think that's part of the reason why we've seen some rookies struggle, is that they're trying to make up at bats that their major league counterparts didn't have to. They at least got half a season in 2020. So I think losing that season, it's going to have a long tail on the effects of how we evaluate prospects and how they're going to come out of that. Was there a lot of player movement or more player movement than typically affected? I wouldn't quite put it that way, especially at the top. I mean, all the prospects, basically, the major prospects stayed in place.
You give John Singleton any chance of becoming a major leaguer again?
I would love to see it. As somebody who follows the Brewer system a lot, because that's one of my systems that I cover for MLB Pipeline, I was surprised to see him sign again, but it was a happy surprise. I don't think he's doing anything right now to really knock on the door. I think if he was in a different organization, one that maybe wasn't in contention as much as the Brewers are right now, there could maybe be a spot for him. But even getting at-bats at AAA Nashville is basically an audition for him for other clubs. I mean, it's him hitting in a minor league environment, hitting in AAA environment. There's an off chance. If you're in AAA, there's always a chance. I think that would be a great kind of comeback story for him. I just think it's going to happen outside of Milwaukee.
Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline. Before you go, okay, so Witt is up. Rushman is up. Give us one guy who hasn't been up yet that you think is surefire, will be a great pro.
I mean, I guess I'll stick in that Baltimore system. It's Grayson Rodriguez. He just continues to shove at AAA Norfolk. He's our top pitching prospect. He's number 3 overall right now. He's got all 4 pitches that are really good. The changeup is really special. He can touch triple digits. He's doing it a little less often this season, but I think that's him getting warmed up. It feels like every start he's made for Norfolk has been better than the last. He's up to 6 innings. He's striking out double digits guys at a time. He's got a 2.32 ERA right now, 76 strikeouts in 15 to third innings. He's basically major league ready. He just needed to expand his workload, and I think he's there now. So I know talked about being excited about joining Adley Rutschman in Baltimore. They had a really good partnership at many stops throughout the Baltimore system. I think when you get those two guys in place, you could really see the Orioles turn the corner. It might not happen this year, but we could certainly be talking about the Orioles being at least a wild card contender in some way if they supplement those guys in other ways starting next year.
Well, it's been long enough that they've been bad, so time to start taking advantage of all those high picks that they got, and it looks like they are. That's great. That is Sam Dykstra from MLB Pipeline right here at Sam Dykstra, MILB on Twitter. Hey, Sam, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, Sam Dykstra right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There are a couple of stories that we have to get to. One is this superstar argument that you have, and then crossing the line as an ESPN host. I've never done it. I've never crossed the line, but there's somebody who has, and we're going to play for you how he crossed that line. Right now, though, who's an underdog?
Well, there's any number of people who are underdogs, and you may find an underdog. Underdog fantasy, what they are able to do, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the NBA Finals, because you're going to have Warriors and Celtics teeing off on each other, and one of the things they have is they have daily fantasy basketball, and you draft your basketball team, and it's so much fun. I've played in one over there with basketball for, I guess, a year and a half now since I started telling you about Underdog Fantasy. I love Underdog Fantasy. As somebody who has played fantasy football for years and years, it was fun to be able to get into the basketball side, the baseball side, and yes, that's available to you right now. And of course, football. Best Ball Mania 3 is here. It's $10 million worth of prizes this year, so that number continues to go up and up as more people join, and it costs just $25 to enter. Well, I got some great news for you. When you make your first deposit and you use the promo code radio, they're going to match up to $100, and you can take that $100 and use it for four free entries into, at $25 apiece, into Best Ball Mania 3. And you can draft right now if you want to. I mean, you're drafting early. Last year, the winner drafted in June, the person who finished first place and got the big chunk of the cash. You're drafting your team, and you don't have to, there's no roster management. There's no waiver wire. There's no deciding who to pick, you know, who you're going to start that week. Whoever the highest scores are at your quarterback position, your two running back position, your three wide receiver position, whoever the highest scores are for you, that's the points you get. That's the number you get. And then from there, you have a chance to aggregate over the course of the year and win big money. Underdogfantasy.com. Make sure you download the app on Android or iPhone, iOS, or just play online by going to underdogfantasy.com. Make sure you use promo code radio and get your up to $100 match when you make your first deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
Hey, time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. Listen, the number one thing is when you go to a dealership is that you want to get the best deal, right? You want to know that the people there are not just trying to take all your money. That's just not. I mean, you feel it's slimy, right? I want to go to a place where I can trust the people. I want to go to a place where I know that they're working for me, and it's not just all talk. Oh, we're going to do everything we can for the, you know what? That's a lot of talk from a lot of dealerships, and they're all going to say the same thing. But how do you act? How do you do it? Are you giving rebates now? Are you marking up? Are you adding on? Because that's not happening at Chastang. They don't do any of that stuff at Chastang Ford, and they never have. And that starts at the top with the ownership. And listen, they've got deals out there for you right now. You can still order a lot of your Fords, but there's some that you can't. But here's the deal. They've got them on the lot right now. They got a 2021 Ford EcoSport S, $269 a month, with only $1,000 down payment. They have three available. Get on over there. Only over 25 certified Transits in stock right now. Those are work vehicles that are awesome, and they'll customize them for you. They're going to do everything that they can, get you the best deal they possibly can, put you in that Ford or pre-owned vehicle, car or truck. You're looking for the best place to buy that car. I'm telling you, I love them. You'll love them too. Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776. So, superstars in the NBA. Name them.
Okay, I'll name them, and then we'll say what a superstar is. I mean, to me, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Giannis, KD, John Morant.
Oh, we're going to go John Morant. Are you going to go John, Kawhi?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe Ja is now getting a superstar.
Are you
going to
go Jokic?
I don't believe so. I think superstar transcends.
Well, yeah, he's not as well known. Superstar means as famous.
This is the problem, is what superstar. Does superstar mean? Jokic and John Morant hasn't. John Morant's a tricky one because he has superstar vibes, right? He does things to me that are Jordan-like when Jordan was young. Like Devin Booker, not a superstar. Chris Paul, not a superstar. I don't think. I think superstar is a small group of players that are consistently, their performance level is as a high level, and I think their star, their star beings, just who they are, kind of emanates from them as the season goes on. I think Dame Lillard is a superstar. I think Dame is a superstar. Yeah. Here's my point, and why this came up is people have been arguing about who superstars are. The same way people use the word elite, which is the dumbest, people really should not use the word elite. Elite means the very, very best, the very, very best. And we hear GOAT used all the time about the dumbest stuff. That's a GOAT taco. Stop using that. That started with Ali. Ali was literally the greatest of all time, GOAT. That's where the phrase started from. And then it was used for Jordan. It's used for Tom Brady. Stop using it for like average-ass people. Y'all really need to stop. You need to be tased if you do. Number one. It'll stop it from happening. Number two, elite. Stop using the word elite unless you truly mean it. And when you say elite, that has to be something you don't see every generation. The phrase generational talent. He's a generational talent. That thing is overused like crazy now, along with elite. So when I say superstar, I truly mean that you have to hit a different level. There was an argument about, it wasn't an argument. One of the hosts on ESPN over the weekend said, you know, I'm a superstar. I've been arguing that Jason Tatum is a superstar. But then he had a couple games, and I was like, maybe I'm going to take him off the superstar list. If you're off and on, you're not a superstar. That's the whole point. Because once you hit superstar status, you're a superstar.
Wait a minute.
You
don't That's get not what dropped. Superstar means.
Exactly.
Superstar means it's your,
you're like
it's
the
your
best
fame
of the best.
Quota.
Yeah, well, also, it also comes with, to me, success quota, too. I think it's both. To be a superstar, you have to be a certain level of really, really good.
Yeah.
And Jason Tatum, to me, can become a superstar in the league, but some players just don't have that it factor that takes him to superstar level. Like, that's the other thing about Jason Tatum. But if you're sitting here arguing based on single games or like, I'm off a superstar, I'm back on, then that means you're what I call a one-timer. It takes one time to switch your opinion because you're always back and forth. So to me, if you're undecided about a guy being on the fence, then he's not a superstar. It's just that simple. Even if you haven't clearly defined
it. Is James a superstar?
I think James is a superstar, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he is a superstar who is declining to a level that he may slide off the list. But James reached that by being, his looks, his
elite
game,
scorer.
Elite scorer all time, MVP yeah. all the time. James was absolutely a superstar. There was no question about it. Is Kyrie Irving a superstar? He's a trickier one to me.
Kyrie's a superstar, yeah.
You think he's a superstar, RJ?
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe obviously. Well, I mean, there's certain guys that you just know are superstars.
Well, I mean,
is Kyrie Irving a superstar?
Kyrie's different.
I feel like he might be.
I feel like he is, but like you said, with it being tricky, so it's almost like Kyrie's a superstar when he wants to be. Like, and I hate saying that.
It's almost a separate category.
Yeah, right? See,
do you think John Morant is a superstar?
To me, superstar means that you are, like, you're a common household name. And that's what Kyrie is. Jokic isn't because a lot of people don't know who Jokic is.
Oh, is Luka?
Ja is not a superstar. He is. There are a lot of people that don't know. Now, does he? Wait a minute. As far as talent goes, Ja is right up there with every single one of those guys. But is he a superstar yet?
I think in his sport, he is. Well, a superstar.
Superstar is. Superstar is means you exceed your sport. You're outside of your sport.
See, that's not my definition. And that's the first thing you have to say is your definition. Mine is staying inside the sport of basketball and people who watch it. You're talking about people who are transcendent.
Yeah.
And I'm not arguing that Ja is transcendent. I think he could become that. Very few players are truly transcendent.
Well, okay. Charles Barkley. You began it with, let's limit what we're saying.
Huh?
You know what? LeBron, he transcends it. LeBron transcends. Well, okay. He's a superstar. He's a true superstar.
No, I'm saying a superstar inside the sport of basketball. I'm not saying a transcendent.
Oh, well, then now your definition is different.
What I said. Yeah. You have to superstar inside of your sport, basketball. To me, Jason Tatum's still not a superstar. He's a star player. And there are but superstar is held for a different status. I feel like John Moran is a superstar right now. I really do. I feel like he has stuff that other people don't.
Well, then Jokic is too.
I don't think Jason Tatum has stuff that other people don't have.
Then Jokic is too, then. I mean, because Jokic is a two-time MVP, and he is he's the team. He's his team.
But his team can't go anywhere.
Well, Ja got to the second round.
Ja's been in the league, two and a half years, basically. Yeah.
Well, but Denver can't stay healthy. Denver was healthy this year. Denver would have been a real tough out.
Jokic is tougher, and I'll admit some of it's because he's just – you don't ever hear from him. He's just not. International players can typically have it harder, but Luka's a superstar. Giannis is a superstar. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, transcendent players, the guys who would show up on Saturday Night Live, if you want to try to use that, it used to be used as an old.
Yeah.
But transcendent, I mean, that's a small, small group of NBA players. Bird, Jordan, Magic, LeBron, Charles Barkley was. Was Dream transcendent?
Probably not. Well, I mean, he's an international player, so he's known.
I mean,
internationally.
Shaq is transcendent.
Shaq
a lot of that comes from.
I think Bill Russell was
from commercials. Yeah. I think Wilt was more than Bill Russell.
No, Darvin.
Wilt was transcendent. I don't know that Bill Russell was. Wilt scored 100, and then did things.
Yeah. No, I think Bill Russell absolutely was. I mean, he won with all those titles. He was.
But there was a bunch of other guys in that team.
Is Darvin Ham a superstar? No. Art, just because he's now the Lakers.
See, Carmelo was, was Carmelo ever a superstar? Maybe so. Maybe I'm kind of just remembering just Hoodie Mello and what's become. Carmelo may have been at one point. But I think defining superstars, that's why if you're on the fence, if you go back and forth if a guy's a superstar based on individual games, then he clearly isn't a superstar.
Yeah. No, it's not about that's not what superstar means. Either you're a star or you're not. Even if you have a bad game, you're still a star.
Yeah. That's more about you as the way you view that means that you're more flighty than the player. I mean, yeah, exactly. Jason Tatum has already hit that star level.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not worried about him.
932 ESPN, 97.5 at 92.5. When we come back, there's a guy.
We got people who will argue this, by the way. I got to hear your ESPN guy first.
This guy went off. We gotta get to it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I got to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. I got to talk about the work that's got to be done. I got to talk about. Listen, if you're looking for the best way to improve the value of your home with an outdoor patio, with an outdoor kitchen, with new tile outside around your pool. If you want to make your home more valuable, and it's kind of a big deal if you haven't redone your bathrooms in a while. If your home is 10, 15 years old, 20 years old, and you haven't redone the bathrooms, if you haven't redone the sinks, even the toilets, even the shower, this can all be done. And it can all be done by one guy and his company, which is Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. He can come to your home and make it just better. Those countertops in that kitchen, those cabinets in that kitchen, those floors around the house, whatever the case may be, you got to knock out a wall, you want to expand a room, whatever the case may be, Jeff Aronoff can get that job done for you. If you're looking for a great way to improve the value of your biggest investment ever, your home or your business, then give Jeff a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell Jeff you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
You know, guys, OfferPad's mission is to deliver the best home buying and selling experience so you can spend less time real estating and more time living. And that's what they're able to do for you, and that's what they will do for you when you go to OfferPad.com. You complete a short form, provide information about your home, and OfferPad local expert is going to receive that request. They analyze in real time your home, get home specific. They check out neighborhood trends, and then they're going to email a cash purchase offer within 24 hours. And the offer and information is free. It comes with no obligation. Let me tell you what this saves you from. It saves you from showings. It saves you from showings that disrupt your schedule, can disrupt the schedule of your pets. What are you going to do with your pets? You don't have to get the yard work ready and set up for the curb appeal. You don't have to worry about getting your house ready on the interior. That's part of what OfferPad is going to do when they take over your home. You're just going to get a cash offer. And by the way, if you have a move within 50 miles that you're going to make, they'll move you absolutely free as part of their process. So this is really a great opportunity for you. Go to OfferPad.com, provide basic information about your home, and OfferPad is going to send you an all-cash purchase offer within 24 hours. That's OfferPad.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Friday, listen to what happened. Derek Ruskin is an Arkansas radio host on ESPN Arkansas. He covers the Razorbacks. That the Razorbacks are everything, right? Okay. So their baseball team is struggling. And they've got a catcher named Michael Turner. When asked about the struggles, you're going to hear Michael Turner's response. Well, this radio host, Derek Ruskin, he's an afternoon host on ESPN Arkansas, did not like what this college student said about Arkansas's recent struggles and the fan base. And here is Derek Ruskin on Friday talking about this college kid, a catcher at Arkansas.
Right, I'll say it. And I wouldn't say this about a young player, but Michael Turner is a fifth-year graduate guy from Kent State. He's a stupid ass,
okay,
the catcher for the Arkansas Razorbacks. All right, listen to this guy. Listen to the question and the answer, okay? We've got the question from Tom. Listen to the answer. And notice how the answer has nothing to do with the question.
You guys haven't gone through a stretch like what you're in right now all year. Can you put your finger on what's happening?
Not really, man. We're just trying to keep the circle tight and cut out a lot of the outside noise. It's not always that easy to play here. There's a lot of people that are fans, good fans. Some aren't so great fans. And if you read Twitter after the game, it can get in your mind a little bit. So we're just trying to keep the circle tight and keep moving forward.
Okay, first of all, you're not a Razorback. You've been here once. You're a rental player, and you've sucked. So thanks for nothing, first of all. Secondly, as a rental player, you do not get to come in here and criticize this fan base, you stupid ass. Not a chance. The question was about what's wrong with the team, and you used the entire answer to take a swing at this fan base? You're a disgrace, Michael Turner. You're a disgrace. You should not get to wear that uniform again. What a loser. You know why they're losing? Because you're a loser, and you're the catcher. You're in charge of this whole thing on the infield. You're a loser and a disgrace, and you can't get out of this program soon enough.
Here's a tweet from ESPN Arkansas. Derek Ruskin will be taking time away from his afternoon role on ESPN Arkansas stations. His comments Friday during Friday's show concerning Michael Turner went too far and did not meet our company standard for quality content. ESPN Arkansas works every day to provide honest, fair, and passionate sports talk programming for all our listeners.
I did hear passion.
Our commitment to that standard will not change. We will further deal with this matter internally moving forward.
Sounds right.
Here's the problem. This is a college kid, right? I know he's a rental player. I know he attacked your fan base by saying some are good fans and some aren't.
Well, it really wasn't the question. He did take the question to basically.
Yeah, why are you guys struggling?
He just said some fans are better. He didn't like go all out on the fan base or anything.
He just said some are good.
I wondered, there must be something else here. There must be other context here. Like, there must have been some other stuff with that catcher. Maybe he said some things. Something else must be at play here where, because you know how college guys are, college towns, the ones who cover the sport, they hear more stuff or they're involved with more things. They're there with the program. They handle the recruiting websites and all that. So they know more. I'll bet you there's more to this, but I guarantee we won't hear it.
Well, the guy's not hitting all that well. And he's a first-year guy from Kent State, like a transfer in his fifth-year guy. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, I you're not the only one that pukes blood on the driveway.
No.
Or that dude really is passionate about his
No,
gun.
That sounded
he's
familiar.
He's passionate about his hogs.
That sounded familiar.
He's a stupid pig, but he's...
He is passionate about his hogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no problem with him, if you want to know the truth. I have absolutely no problem.
I was like, I mean, I didn't think either one of them went, that's fine. However y'all want to handle it's fine. What do I care? I'm just sitting here listening like, there but by the grace of God, go I. You haven't heard me say that about, it's been about Drayton McClain a few times, Uncle D. Never about a college player, but because I already know the rules are, college players can say what they want to say, but you can't say.
Hell, I caught it from the coach when I was saying that Clayton Tune wasn't playing all that well. I mean, I never called him a dumbass or a disgrace or anything like that.
You were actually correct.
Yeah, he wasn't playing great.
No.
And then all of a sudden he played great. And you know what? Yeah. Then they say he's playing great.
But that's the way it should be.
Right.
You should have the ability to say when a guy's not playing well as long as you are ready to be there when he does play well.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, he's not fired, but he is suspended, unfortunately.
Yeah, he shouldn't be fired for that.
No, he shouldn't be fired. All right. When we come back, some news of the weird coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And in the meantime, though, you got a great plate.
Well, I've got a great plate of food because I'm going to Union Kitchen. Union Kitchen is where you can find great meals for brunch, for lunch, for dinner, at any point. Paul Miller, the owner, wants you to have a great experience. It starts with the food. They want to make sure that they have food that is going to hit your palate. So if you love comfort food, they've got that. You want soups and salads, they've got that for you as well. If you want a brunch that has lobster, that has lobster omelets, and they have the Elvis waffles with the peanut butter and the bananas Foster. Oh my gosh, they've got that too. That's absolutely incredible. Churro donut holes. They've got so many different items that are going to be exciting for you. The crab cake dishes there that they have with the hollandaise and the Benedict. There's something for everyone at my friends over at Union Kitchen. And I can promise you this, you're going to love one of my favorite dishes is their pistachio crusted chicken dish that they've carried over from a former restaurant that is one of my favorite recipes in the entire city of Houston. Make sure that you go check them out for lunch and get a great burger, a chicken sandwich, a nice healthy salad if you're looking for that, or maybe a little more decadent salad if that's what you're looking for. But you're going to do it at one of six locations around the Houston area at Union Kitchen. Stop in, enjoy the drinks, the service, the friendly faces, and the great food at Union Kitchen.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Apparently, Turkey and Finland are in a bit of a spat, Lance. Did you? Well,
I didn't know that.
Turkey insists that Finland and Sweden should not gain NATO membership unless they cease support for groups Ankara views as terrorists. Okay. I get that.
Okay.
So a Finnish member of parliament has called for the boycott of Turkish kebabs, holidays, and cars.
Turkish holidays, okay, as vacations.
But no more.
Turkish cars, okay. Kebabs
no
out.
No more Turkish kebabs.
Kebabs are out?
Yeah. So if you're going to go to Finland, know this. You're not getting any Turkish kebabs there. Apparently,
know this.
Catholic priests are getting burnt out. Apparently, they're complaining long lines of possessed people. And not there's not enough time in the day or priests to handle all the possessed people.
That sounds, that tracks.
Do you think you should learn exorcism so that you can help
out? This is the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, a lot of people are looking for different jobs now. They've decided to voluntarily resign from their jobs. I mean, at some point you got to pay your bills. Maybe this is something you want to get into.
Yeah. Exorcism.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
If you put it on your YouTube channel, you can make more
turning
money.
Around
yeah,
and
but
stuff.
Can you imagine how many hits that would get?
Up on the ceiling, you know.
You get a lot of hits.
I know
you can make more money if you turn it into a YouTube channel.
You know what else is getting a lot of hits? Apparently, people are putting do-it-yourself baby formula recipes
I have heard about this.
Yeah. Pediatricians are saying you probably shouldn't do that.
No, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
You know how quick somebody could just fool you with, hey, this is one that you should use. Take a dehydrated paprika. Like, they're tricking you into hurting people. Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
A lot of fake news on the internet. I don't know if you've heard that.
Apparently, there's a salmon chaos in Taiwan right now.
What's this?
Have you seen this?
No.
If you change your name and include the word salmon in your name, you're going to get free sushi. So, apparently, people all over and the Taiwanese government is saying, can you stop? Because you're wasting our time. Okay.
John Granado salmon?
Yeah, or salmon. Like, remember Salman Rushdie? Remember him?
Yeah, I don't think that was...
That was
a
little different.
The same.
But you could be Salman... Salmon Zerline?
But it's salmon. We're all on the same page, right? You don't. Do you know any humans who say salmon still?
No, but...
I mean, I've encountered him during my life. Luckily, no one's in my inner circle that says salmon.
Salmon, right. But that is that was his name, though, Salman Rushdie.
No, for him. I'm saying the fish.
Right.
I've heard people say salmon.
You have?
Are you eating salmon? Yeah, during my life, I've heard it.
Oh.
But those are not people I want to be a part of.
You're going to have some salmon? No, I've never heard that.
Salmon.
It's salmon. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know the L's in there, but it's salmon.
Yeah. Apparently now, an ANC counselor was arrested for allegedly killing his predecessor, and he was also the chief mourner at his funeral. Do you think, you know... He needed a job. Do you think that you should kill whomever you should, so that you can get their job?
No.
But as long as you mourn well.
Yeah, but I still don't think you should.
No, I don't think you should kill somebody just to get their job. Apparently, there's going to be a Saudi Arabian edition of The Office. Do you want to see the Saudi Arabian?
I'll check it out.
I know, right?
I mean... Yeah, I'll just check it out to see what the comedy looks like.
But you're going to have to read it all.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know if it'll all... But I would like to see
I read plenty of Tokyo Vice.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. I read all of... what's the one where you had to... Where you were going to get shot if you didn't
read
the
English
games?
Parts now.
What's the one where you got to do the games, the Korean show? You had to trace out things. You'd get shot. Squid Game. I read all. I'm not afraid to read.
No, I'm not afraid to read.
Reading comedies,
but
maybe
this is going to be harder. Yeah. This is going to be a little.
Oh, you know what? I'm.
You're probably not going to get a lot of.
You know
their
what?
Jokes.
Immediately, this is too much. I don't want to. Yeah. I've seen BBC Office, American Office. It can't be done better than those two.
Malaysia Airlines is going to operate its first flight powered by used cooking oil. Do you want to be on that flight?
Yeah, I've heard about this story before. No,
you do not want to be on it.
No,
it's going to Singapore this Sunday.
Yeah, I think
that's a little.
I have a wife who struggles with literally any, like if it's sprinkling outside. Can you imagine?
How does she feel when the plane?
Turbulence. We had some up and down, bumpy, turbulent stuff, and it was not a.
Did you get on the puddle jumper like you said?
Yeah, we had. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to take the boat.
It was a 90-minute trip versus 14-minute trip. I said, "Let's do it," and we got on it. And at the end, and she sat in the front seat. And at the end, it did some of this sideways movements, and it was, I heard about it. And the worst part is, it landed.
Was she
and
we found clawing out they were at the pilot next door?
Her own knee was red with nail mark. She had scratched up her whole knee.
That's
not great. It's not great.
I don't know if I want to get on a plane with the cheese.
We're
going to
check out the Mayan ruins, but we had to fly back over. That was a no-go. Right. She's like, nope, I just can't fly.
Well, what was the cooking oil cooking, though? I think that's the important thing. Is it fried chicken? I want that. Was it Popeyes? Because I'm in.
You're in for it to power your flight?
Well, it's used cooking oil. What was it used on? Was it used on liver? No, thanks.
I don't care.
I'm sorry. I'm out. If it's Popeyes fried chicken, I'm in.
I mean, they better be sure about this.
Apparently, shirtless guys on Tinder are perceived as less competent and more prone to risky sexual behavior. Do you have a Tinder profile with no shirt on?
Why would you ask that question? No, I don't. I don't think that's the follow-up
RJ, you're single. Do you have a Tinder?
No, he's not. No, he's told you already. He's not
single.
Well,
he's got a girlfriend, but you're still single. You're not married.
That's not single. He's RJ just like walked away from the
Well, you have a girlfriend, but that's not married.
That's not
single. That's not married.
No, that's taken. A girlfriend means you're not single. Single means you're available for the other people.
There's a lot of guys on Tinder that have girlfriends. Yeah,
exactly.
There's a lot of guys that have
wives. Some have put their picture of their family in theirs before.
Right.
So, that's on a different level.
That's a legitimate question, RJ.
I don't feel like it.
All right, we're done. Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. But first, Lance, why don't you talk about your patio?
So go ahead, Texas Custom Patios. I've had a patio since 2016 is when I first got my patio. Well, the first time I contacted him in 2015, and then I waited and waited, and I'm like, okay, dude, I got to get this done. I don't know what my wait was. They got it done in 2016, December of 2016. I remember I was out before I even had patio furniture. I was out watching an Everton match. Lukaku had two goals that match, but and ever since, it's been great. My kids are out there on a regular basis. Yesterday, Snacks is out there. They love going out and eating, watching their YouTube shows and Mr. Beast and all that stuff. But I just know I like to be out there watching games when I'm out there. Sometimes I was out there watching Billions or whatever show I'm watching currently. I'll make a cocktail. You get your fans put in. That's what they do. Your sound system is embedded in your ceiling. You've got your big screen TV, maybe multiple TVs. Your outdoor kitchen. It's an outdoor living space that really is a second place to enjoy your home. It adds tremendous value. It adds amazing beauty to the back of your home. And it's something that is going to really add a lot of value when it comes time to sell your home as well, because that's a big differentiator, having a great patio. So go to TexasCustomPatios.com, see the before and afters, and then understand that you got a chance to really live your best life thanks to TexasCustomPatios.com.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.